study, right?
Yeah.
Should do it thesis almost.
Exactly, exactly.
Call the debunking of Job.
Debunking of Job.
Yeah, I'll do it for my thesis.
Yeah. We need to understand that the Bible is, when it is written, it is, when we read the Bible, it is man's perspective of who God is. It's man's perspective of who God is. We are, people are writing in the Bible, in the scripture, what they think about God, who they think he is, what is his real character. And we need to understand, all these guys, mostly in the Old Testament, got the perspective about God wrong. I mean, Job really got it wrong, and he confesses later on. And so, we cannot pick up and say, oh, Job is saying that so and so thing happened, and it's all done by God. We can't say that is God's nature now, or get God's character now. So we need to understand, Jesus came to unveil the character of God. And when Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1 says, Paul says that Jesus was the express image of who God was. So when we see the cross, when we see Jesus, we see the real character of who God is. Therefore, it's so difficult. It is difficult to understand who God is until and unless you don't see the cross. So that's why I say many a time, the cross is important. Jesus is important because it unveils who God is. He unveils your identity in Christ. Your identity in God. So the way you see God is the way you will see yourself. The perspective of God. And many a times Debbie keeps correcting me because of my the words that I use. Our morning meditation needs to be internalizing, embodying that God. Therefore, we say, I am Yod He Vav He Shalom. I am Yod He Vav He Nisi. I am Kadosh. So, I am Yahweh Zuri. So, when we say this, we are not saying that God is outside us. When we take the names of God, Elroi and Rapha, we are not looking at a God who is outside us and now we are begging for healing from him. But we are embodying that nature, that name of God, and we are manifesting it. So you see, Job was meditating on his fears. In early morning prayer, what we do is we meditate on who we are. Job meditated on his fear, and that got manifested in his life. In the morning prayer or the meditation prayer, we meditate on identity of who we are. We are Yahweh Shalom. We are Yahweh Rapha. We are Yahweh Nisi. We are Yahweh Sitkeno. And as I'm saying I am, that will get manifested in my life. Rather than, you know, meditating of who we are not. So who we are not is an illusion. And that's what I preached last Sunday. It's an illusion. Who we are not is an illusion. But who we are is the truth.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can we, what we discuss now about what we meditate on and what we do in the morning that we are God? I mean, to bring the consciousness of God in our life. Can we tie it back to what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned, and to the cross,
yeah,
and what happened at salvation? Because the typical teaching of salvation is that we are three-part beings. Our spirit is dead because of what Adam and Eve did, and we have to have salvation to get our spirit back,
yeah,
and to in connection with God. So how does this tie in with
yeah,
because I'm getting a bit confused with
all exactly this. So let me
it's a very
yeah. Let me put it into the reason is we cannot understand it because we have made a statement now, and to resolve that statement we are trying to answer it in a wrong perspective. So the whole thing, let me put the whole picture. Adam and Eve fell into sin. When I say Adam and Eve fell into sin, now everyone starts thinking they did something wrong, and because they did something wrong, God was separated. This is the old way of thinking, or the mainstream way of thinking. Adam and Eve fell into sin. Because they fell into sin, God became against them and separated from them. And now the whole they were fallen in they are fallen, and then God curses them and all that stuff. God throws them away from Eden. And the whole idea that you see is God is trying to restore himself, that relationship. He's angry with them and he's trying to calm down his own the anger throughout the whole Bible. And so he sends Jesus and says, you die on the cross, and after you die on the cross my anger will come down, and I will be at peace with men. And so he sends Jesus on the cross, he dies on the cross, now his anger is gone, his wrath is gone, and now he says, oh, now I can love this people who had sinned back again without looking at their sin, because now my son has paid the price. And now everything is restored. That's the mainstream way of thinking, and it's Augustinian way of thinking. But this actually what really happened. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, or they fell down, they were fallen in their consciousness. It's in their mind that these things are happening. And therefore you see Adam and Eve, they are running and hiding themselves. And God comes searching for Adam and Eve. He is not running away. It's they who are running away from God and hiding themselves from God. God is not hiding himself from Adam and Eve. And so he comes searching from there and says, Adam, where are you? That very clearly explains the whole thing. Now, it's all that what is happening is in the mind of Adam and Eve. So the whole fallen thing that we talk about, falling into sin that we talk about, is Adam and Eve, men, falling in his own mindset. And now they have an illusion. They have an illusion saying that, now we are fallen. God is angry with us. God is upset with us. And now we need to do something in order to get restored. Get back into that relationship with God. It's all happening in Adam's mind, men's mind, not in God's mind. And so, to quench that mind of men, to crush that mindset of men, God sends his son, Jesus Christ, who dies on the cross in this place called as Golgotha, also called as a skull, which looks like a head of a man, to show and signify that the mindset of men is crushed. When he dies, the veil is torn apart of the temple to show that the illusion of man's mind is taken away. And he shows the real picture, who God is, by dying on the cross. He says, God is, the cross shows, I am unconditional love. Whether you have sinned or not sinned, I still love you. That is the real picture God is trying to show on the cross. He's not trying to restore his own mind, his own character, his own emotion. He's not a schizophrenic. I mean, Debbie has put a post on empowered sons of God. Or somebody has put a post on empowered sons of God. You check it out. It's not that God was angry before the cross and then because Jesus died, he became okay with people. So this is the whole picture and the whole idea that Christians are doing, the mind, the body and spirit, they are trying to separate it. Remember, separation, any separation that you see is an illusion. It's an illusion because there is nothing actually separate in this entire cosmos. Everything is one and we are all one in God. So the whole separation mindset is a religion, is an illusion mindset. It's an illusion. So the moment we try to separate, we are submitting ourselves to that particular illusion. You see? So what happened to Adam? And the way Adam was looking at things was an illusion. And what God was doing on the cross is removing, lifting up that illusion out of Adam's mind. Does this answer your question any? Is it making things clear to you?
Well, I'm just trying to tie it with how other religions are able to reach God. I think basically... the mainstream thinking for Christianity is that our spirit are dead and we need salvation to get connected back to God. I think what we have discussed just now is that our spirit is alive, it's just that we are not aware.
Exactly.
And, we lost the consciousness. But other religions, through meditation, they are able to reach God also.
Yeah.
So I think that's basically, that's it, I think.
Okay, so you see, this is the difference. In every religion, everyone is trying to work their self to get awakened. If you don't see the cross, you are working yourself to get awakened. And every religion, that includes Judaism and even mainstream Christianity, we are trying to get ourselves enlightened, so-called, or awakened, or to, you know, we are working hard to get it. But and we are trying to understand who God is. And none of the religions are getting it right, including the mainstream Christianity. The only way to get it right, awakened, or we can say realize who we are in God, or we can say realize who God is, what's his real nature, to really understand his nature, you have to see the cross.
I think it's important. Yeah, you know, the word metanoia, right? The word metanoia means, it's what we use for repentance, but the Greek meaning is to change your mind. So if we can understand that, you know, we talk about the three entities of body, soul, and spirit, and people try to like divide it, but it's really quite a oneness, you know. And our spirits, it's like we have our own spirit. Everybody has their own spirit. But this spirit needs to be married or Bluetooth to God's spirit, you know. And that awakening comes with that realization and the consciousness of God's spirit, you know. And that's why a lot of times the question is the, what you call the psychic of men, you know, who they think they are. That's why we keep talking about identity. That's why Jesus came, because Jesus is the divine incarnate man. He is the template for who we are, for who man is, not Adam. And that's why we always, you know, people are always considering the so focused on Adam and the fall of Adam that they're not realizing the rise of the Christ, you know, who Christ yeah. is in us. And the word sin, even when you talk about sin, from the very beginning, the religion has it that it's a verb, right? It's something that you have done. So it's all about the eating of the apple, right? It's all about that. When actually, when you think about it, what really happened was that they partook of the knowledge of good and evil. It wasn't a case of disobedience. You know, oh, they sinned because they disobeyed and they ate from that tree. No. The issue here is that they drew their resource, you know, they drew things for their life from the knowledge of good and evil. Obviously, it's not a literal snake and a literal apple and a literal, you know, falling away. That's how when you read the Bible literally, that's what happens. But when you read it like what is called allegorically, in other words, what does it mean for me? That means you, in there is an Adam and an Eve. That's Eve is the female part of all people, right? We all have an Eve, we all have an Adam, we all have a male, we all have a female in us. Now that female part is the part that that is submissive, you know, that is like your the part of you that accepts and receives from the male. So the male part is like the thought, right? The thought is from the father, the seed, and it drops into the womb of the spirit, your psyche. And if you receive that, so the question is where that thought comes from. If it comes from the tree of life, which is Jesus and what God believes about you and who you are, then the harvest, the seed will birth a son, will birth something that is who you are, right? Who is exactly like God, who is exactly like your thought, whatever you decide you will manifest. But if the seed comes from the knowledge of good and evil, then the woman, that means the Eve part of you, will birth a judgment, because knowledge of good and evil, that's what it does. It gives you good and evil where you have to judge. So that was the problem with the mindset. That was the problem with the conditioning, the mental condition that we were in. So that exactly. is sin. Sin is missing the mark. That means forgetting who you are. For a moment there, Adam and Eve, like we do, sometimes in situations when we are faced with the good and evil of the doctor's report or our situation of our finances, our relationship, all these things, we get into judgment and we self-sabotage ourselves. We get into condemnation about ourselves or other people. We get into judgment, just like, again, the issue of Job. You know, he drew from the knowledge of good and evil that his sons were doing something evil, right? And he judged them. He actually judged them that there would be a consequence on them. And therefore, he was praying desperately every day for protection for his sons and things like that. Because when you pray for something, like you pray for protection, that means there is a situation of lack, right? That's why I pray for something. So all this to say, yeah, it is important to see, once you see Jesus as your template, you can go back to the Old Testament and you know who you are. You can go back to the Old Testament. You can see Christ in all these stories. Then you understand where you are in that Adam and Eve story. You become who you are in the Isaac, Jacob, Esau story, who you are in all the stories. What else? What other stories are there? Like the Abraham story, the Moses and Pharaoh story, all these stories, in the Noah story, in the Abraham and Lot story. you suddenly all these stories in the Old Testament will reveal to you Christ in every situation, because all those Old Testament stories are like parables, right? For everyday situations. I'll just go on a tangent right now, a little bit of a tangent. For example, yesterday I was in a discussion, in Mike's discussion, and somebody brought up this very interesting thing about the story of Esther, that you know that the government at that time, okay, it's related to our world situation. The government at that time had already put out a law, a decree. They couldn't go back on it. They couldn't change it. But then apparently, I was going to study the story today, but in that story, it was given to Esther after she revealed the thing, the plan. It was given to Esther to change that law. So imagine that in this situation that we're in, right? We might think like, oh, we are nothing, you know? The government is doing this, the world, you know, and the world bodies are doing this. We are all led by America and what America does and what Fauci does and what all these people do. I have to succumb. No, 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 no. You are the Esther. We are the Esther. Amen. Right? So do you see how powerful that is? We are not nothing. We are that Son of God, which can turn things around because the government is on his shoulders. Absolutely. The government is on our shoulders. I was just blown away by that one. Wow. Awesome. Yesterday was like, when I heard that, I went, woo, so, so good, you know? Amen. That is really the truth of our being. So awesome. I hope that encourages you.
Yeah, that was too good, Debbie. Also remember, when we say, it's not that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was bad, the whole idea about that separation, this is good, this is bad, let's separate both of them, that whole mindset of separation, you know, that was the whole issue. So sin is an illusion, guys. Actually, sin is an illusion, and in this illusion, what we say, we categorize things in good and bad, and we try to separate it. And every time we separate ourselves from God, and we say, this is God and this is me. And then we try to restore our separation. That everything that we think in our mind is separate, 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 is actually sin. It's an illusion. So sin is an illusion. It's not a real thing. It's an illusion of your identity. As Debbie says and puts forth, it's a separation. It's an illusion. And out of that sin, out of that illusion mindset comes the fruit of illusion. And the fruit of illusion is your sickness, is the struggle that you go, is the problem that you go through. In fact, your sickness is an illusion. You know, is your problem, your worries, all those things are illusions. They are of illusions. They are coming out of illusion. And that illusion will go away once we come to know the reality, the truth. It says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. So what's the truth? Your identity in Christ. Who you are. I am Yahweh Shalom. I am Yahweh Nisi. I am God. That's the truth, and that clears up most of the illusion. So guys, we are almost coming to an end. I hope your things are getting cleared, but if not, please put forth your queries. We are ready to discuss more on this, and you know, it's not an easy thing to get into this kind of understanding, though it is simple, but religion has made it so complicated that our mind sometimes becomes difficult to reason it out.
And yeah, it's very true. That's why we need this time, because when you talk it out, you know, even for me, I mean, it's like we're, you know, like 30, 40 years of wired in exactly what Annie said. You know, you're totally wired in this narrative. You know, you totally believe this narrative, you know, and you have actually maybe even shared this narrative with others, which then cements, you know, makes it concrete in your mind that that's how it is. Then it's really hard to break down that concrete, that foundation, and rebuild. And the way you have to do it is like really smash it and really totally like a house that's been built that is faulty. You know, you've built a house on faulty pillars in the house, you know, not strong pillars. And so the only way is to really go ask those questions, you know, and then confront it, look at it, and really, I mean, Annie, I mean, we can talk about it even more, but the thing is, we all need the rewiring, because that's what you have to do. You have to rewire, you have to rebuild, totally change, repent, change your mind about how we think the whole narrative is, even creation. You know, if you want to go, that's why the WOW Coach syllabus is going to be so good, because it's going to take you from the very basics. In other words, smash down, go to the WOW Coach meetings with a very clear, open slate and say, look, I'm ready to be to learn what's really fundamental and start to build my house again. That's awesome. What's happening.
So Annie is already in a coaching group. But other guys who want to really understand the deep stuff can connect to any of the coaches out here. And Judy has put her timings out there. And also we have our Saturday meetings. So that we can throw out questions like that, discuss, and, you know. And it's okay to disagree, guys. It's okay to completely disagree. I mean, when people would tell about this, now I'm doing a ministry for around more than 14, 15 years. And it's after 13 or 14 years that I'm coming into understanding all this stuff. And when people would share this stuff, I would say, what's wrong with this guy? Why can't he, what is wrong? And how do they think like this? I mean, this is completely wrong. This is what I used to think, and I'm glad that now I'm able to understand those people who shared with me the real gospel. According to me, now I'm awakened. I'm awakened to the reality who I am, and I'm still getting awakened. I'm still learning stuff. So, yeah, so it's okay to get, guys, not to get it. It's okay not to get it, but at least you just got to listen to it, because what you might get it, and when you really get it, you will really feel enlightened, guys. You will really feel enlightened. You will really be amazed by, you know, and you'll say, wow, this is really amazing. This is reality. This is the truth that is setting you free. It will really set you free. Okay, guys, so I'm out of time, and Debbie, if you guys want to discuss more, you can discuss this with Debbie or in her group. But I need to jump in on another Zoom meeting, we need to end this here. Or if you guys want to continue, you can continue on this chat. Maybe I'll make Debbie the admin or the host of this video.
Just ask everybody, because maybe everybody wants to go back to sleep or something. I don't know.
Just let me know, guys. You want to continue, then we can go ahead.
Yeah, quick, guys. Either say yes or no, and then, you know, we can go there, you know. If you want to keep it for another day, then let's just do
that. We can keep it for another day if you want it.
Yeah, keep it for another day.
Awesome.
Let's do that another day.
Awesome. Okay. There we go. Take care. Love you, guys. See you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Yeah, bye.